have questions, and you will answer, and you will give us revelation of your word, and give us understanding of what you want from us. I pray in the name of Jesus, bless everyone here today and speak to us. I need to hear your voice tonight, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Some of the words, I excuse my accent. I was born in Mexico. I grew up in Mexico until I was 14 years old. And I came here illegally the first time, I confess. I have repented. And now I am a U.S. citizen. Praise God. And I love this country and everything that I am, everything that I am, I owe it to this country, and I love it. And now the Lord took us to Africa, so I don't know why he deals with me like that, but I always loved missions, and I thought he's going to send me to South America. Yes, I love it. Spanish. Well, guess what? We ended up in Namibia, too, learning a language that we've never heard before, Oshiwambo. It's up in the northern part of the country, which is very isolated and is a tribe that makes 50% of the population in Namibia live in that region in the very north. It's very bush, isolated. 5 minutes out of the town where we are is all huts and people working on the fields, and that's all we see. Donkeys and cows passing by in front of the house all night. So it's interesting, but you know, the Lord gives you love for the place that he calls you to work in. And there's something special about that place for us. We love it, and we are just very, very happy to go back and keep working with those wonderful people. At the end, we're going to show you a video. Hopefully, we'll take you into those places so you can see how we have church out there and minister, and how they worship, and how we baptize people, and many being filled with the Holy Ghost. Reaching them, and we preach whatever, you know, we don't have churches like this, but we have a lot of trees, and if there is shade, we just go under that tree and have church. Praise God. Sometimes the black mambas fall from the tree right in the middle of the service, but the kids take care of it. And it's an adventure every day in Africa. Every time you go out of your house, you don't know what you're going to face. It's an adventure. But we just pray and say, Lord, help me to come back home safe. Praise God. So we find in the scripture we read, going all in means trusting the Lord with everything you have. And sometimes we say we trust God, but in reality, how much do you really trust him? There's a story of a man that was climbing a cliff, a mountain, in the middle of the night by himself. And after he climbed a certain altitude, the rope broke or something happened, and he just fell down. And after falling for a while, the rope caught up to something, and he was just hanging there in the dark and scared and probably wounded. He was thinking, how am I going to get out of this? And he began to cry out, and he said, God, if you are real, will you please help me? And the Lord answered him. The Lord said, cut the rope. And after a few seconds of silence, the man yelled back, and he said, is there anyone else out there? Because he was not ready to trust God, the word of God. And the story ends saying that they found him dead 3 feet from the ground. Because sometimes we just have to let go of things in our life and trust that God is going to take care of us. He's going to catch us. We are safer when we listen to the word of God, to his word. So the best way to live for God is by trusting him and being in his perfect will. And you may say, what is the will of God? When you find peace as you go, when you are seeing God's hand leading you. So in this scripture, obviously, Elisha recognized Elijah when he felt the mantle fall on his shoulders. And he knew that his plowing days were over as soon as he felt the mantle. The mantle may have represented the office of the prophet, but whether it did or not, that's what it meant for Elisha. And apparently he had been anticipating this day. And if you think about it, if the oxen are Elijah's, the extra help, the hired man, if Elijah is the owner of the land, that implies a great deal of capital to walk away from. He has something that other people don't have. And there were 12 teams ahead of him, and the large number of teams working on the field is a sign of wealth. And that's what Elijah would have to give up in order to follow the men of God and follow the voice of God and the call of God in his life. So Elijah calls him as he's plowing, and Elijah leaves his plowing days behind. But he says, please let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and I will follow you. And Elijah says, what do I have to do with that? If I was the one calling you, then you would ask me, but I have not called you. It's God that is calling you. So whatever the call of God in your life is, you need to take care of it. And that's sometimes we struggle with it. Sometimes we want to other people to answer our questions. We feel that God is calling us to do something and step out in faith. And we ask certain people and we ask our friends. But you know what? It's our responsibility to ask. Of course, you need to talk to your pastor and pray about it and make sure that it is the right thing to do. But you know, if God calls you, you just need to do it. You just need to be sure and, like I said, find that peace in your heart and know that whatever you are going to get into is going to be okay. And, you know, in the Gospels, we find when Jesus called a disciple who wanted to take care of family business first, he didn't let them go. And one says, first, let me say farewell to my family at home. Another says, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And the reply of Jesus was kind of cold. He says, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And we may say, but what kind of Jesus is this? He didn't care about this man's family, this man's request. He just wanted to go say goodbye to his dead father. But the Lord said, let the dead bury their dead. But you just go and proclaim the gospel. So what is the Lord saying here? What is the lesson we can learn from this? Well, let me tell you, this man in the gospels, they were putting other things first. When this man say, first, let me go say goodbye to my family. The Lord said, you know what? I'm not second to anything. I am number one, and you better follow me, and you go do what I'm telling you to do. But don't put anything first before me. That's what the Lord is saying. So Elijah let him know in the beginning that he was not the one calling him, but it was God. And he told him, go back, for what have I done to you? It's your decision to do what God called you to do. So Elijah, we read in the scriptures that he cut ties with the past and followed the men of God and the will of God. And he ministered to Elijah, as the Bible says in 2 Kings 3:11. So Elijah went, turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people. And they ate. And then he rose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So whatever God calls you to do, just do it. That's what the Nike says, right? Nike brand. Just do it. Just get up and do it. But you got to burn the plows. You got to slaughter the oxen. You got to leave the past behind and don't look back. I heard of a missionary one time that this man, when he came to the States, somebody donated him a house. We're going to donate you a house. And before he went back to the field, he sold the house and he put all the money into his mission account. They asked him, why do you do that? He says, you have no idea how many times when I'm out there struggling and fighting and working on the fields and the mission fields, I'm tempted to quit and come back home. If I have a house, it's going to be a lot easier for me to come home. So I'd rather just burn it, sell it. And that's a way to stay on the field. When we were going to the first time to Africa, we went to Nigeria. And it was a transition that with a lot of tears, a lot of emotions, a lot of different things happening in our lives. We used to pastor. We were pastoring two churches, Spanish churches, and we were having revival. One of them we planted from the bottom up. We started that church, and then the Lord began to speak to us about Africa. Our ministry began to shift, and we were trying to understand what God was trying to do, and praying and crying and trying to. What we felt, it was so strange, and until the Lord confirmed, but it was a process, letting go of things. I was a carpenter all my life, pretty much, for like over 20 years, doing staircases. I love everything, steps and handrails, that was my job. And I had my van full of tools, and if you're a man and love tools, you know what I'm talking about. But I loved my tools. I loved my big van, diesel van, with all my tools inside, everything in order, and going to work every morning and building those stairs. And you know, when God spoke to me about leaving everything, that hurt me, because I had to get rid of my van and my tools, and I thought, how is this gonna happen? But you know, you have to burn the plows, you have to let go. So we began to sell things, give things away, throw things away, and until the house was completely dismantled, where our kids grew up, and that's when we just had to let go and never look back. Turn in the churches to the district. The house was gone, the cars were gone, and storages, everything that we called home, it was completely gone. We were going to the airport in L.A., something very strong hit me, and I thought, for the first time in my adult life, I don't have a key in my pocket. And I thought, I don't have a door to open. I don't have a place to go to. If I wanted to turn around and go back, I have nothing. I have nowhere to go. The churches are gone. The cars are gone. The storage, the house, everything is gone. So what am I saying? When you decide to follow the Lord, you just got to go all in. Just like Elisha did. He just, you know what? The Lord is calling. I feel the mantle of God on my shoulders. I better make sure that, you know, I'm not going to turn around and go back to what I used to be doing. I'm going to kill these the oxen. I'm going to slaughter the oxen. I'm going to burn the plows. And so I'm going to follow the voice of God. And I'm going to do His will. Praise God. And that's the call of God. We arrived in Nigeria in 2020. We all remember that year. It was March of 2020, right before the whole world shut down. And there we were in a small apartment in the middle of a city of 22 million people. And we were like the only foreigners in that city. We didn't see many at all. No one else, different color. So when they shut down the city and the country, the airport and everything, they people stopped working because the lockdowns and all that. So gangs were going at night trying to find food, killing and stealing and looting and doing all kinds of things. And we were targets. We were in great danger. And the U.S. Embassy was warning us, sending emails, stay in your house. Don't get out of your house because you are a target. Just like that. And we were in lockdown for 2 months, literally inside the house. And we sent our guard. We had a guard at the gate. We sent him out to find food and find whatever he could find so we could keep eating and keep living until one day I was tired of being inside. And I told my wife, I'm going to go take pictures of those empty streets outside. And I went out to the gate and I asked the guard, is it okay for me to step outside? And he said, yes, it's okay to go outside. And I took pictures that way and this way. And then he looked down the road and he said, you want to go more down the road? And I said, is it safe? He says, yes, I'll go with you. I go, okay. I knew I was not supposed to be out there. So we started walking down the road, went down the street, and we got to the end of the street. It was like a T, another street going across. And when we got there, there was about 15 men, mostly Muslims, doing their prayers and selling cookies and sodas, whatever they were selling. And in Nigeria, you can't just go around taking pictures. You have to ask permission because they don't like it. They think you're making money out of them. And so if you're going to take pictures, they want you to pay them. So I asked the question, permission, can I take a snap? As soon as I said those words, these men turned around, all of them, and looked at me. And they started coming around. And they started getting up and surrounding me. And I thought, this is not good. And I could hear them asking questions. Who is he? What is he doing here? Who is he with? And one of them said, he's from America. And I thought, that may not be good. When he said he's from America, the Holy Ghost reminded me that I was born in Mexico. And I yelled back as loud as I could, I'm from Mexico. And you know what the man said? He said, oh, we don't have a problem with Mexico. I said, praise the Lord for being a Mexican. Amen. But you know, it's an adventure. It's being out there. And once you decide to take this journey, you got to put it in your mind that there is no turnaround. You just got to go all in. Satan, the world, even our own flesh will tell you that you can't make it or that you shouldn't keep going. Don't believe those lies because they are deceiving you. You just have to get up and do it and trust that God is going to take care of you. They would tell us you are going to one of the most dangerous countries in the world. And it's true. It's the number two most uninhabitable country in the world, Nigeria. And that's where we're going. And people would tell us, why do you go there? What is wrong with you people taking your children into that place? But you know, it's not a safe place, of course, but being in the will of God, you can be in the most dangerous place, but if you're in the will of God, that place becomes the safest place for you. Or you can be in the safest place, but if you are out of the will of God, you're in the most dangerous place. It happened to Jonah, right? He thought he was safe. Out of the will of God, is not safe. Praise God. So then we have a scripture in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So denying yourself, that's the first thing we do as Christians, right? To follow the Lord. Denying ourselves. How do we deny ourselves? Elijah had a heart for the things of God. And when the heart is ready, when the spirit is right, God will bring you out. And this happens in secret in your personal devotions with the Lord. The denying part happens in the secret chambers alone with the Lord in worship, in prayer, in personal devotion, in His presence. So this happens in your daily walk, doing the right thing, even when the opportunity comes to do the wrong thing. Even when you're out there alone in places where you work, in school, in the market, wherever you are, sometimes the opportunity to do wrong is going to present itself. And that's when you gotta say, I deny myself. This is not about me. It's about Him. I gotta deny myself. A questionable business deal, deny yourself. A relationship, deny yourself. An ethical move, deny yourself. Because that's what's gonna, and the Lord is watching every step, every move, everything you do out in secret. And whenever your spirit is right, He will bring you out. And then He'll say, carry my cross, take my cross. So let me put you on exhibition for the world to see you. Let me show the world who you are. And that's when you take the cross of Jesus. And wherever you go, people see you and they see that you're different. They see that the way you talk, the way you live, you are exposed. And they understand that you are taking the cross, carrying the cross of Jesus. And that's a beautiful thing. Once the mantle fell on Elijah, he was exposed to what was in his heart. That's what happened. Without a doubt, Elijah was a fearful man of God before Elijah dropped the mantle on his shoulders. So you don't have to look for recognition or attention. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep plowing the fields quietly. Keep submitting yourself to the men of God. Keep paying your tithes. Bring your offerings to the church. And God will reward your faithfulness, and he will bring you out. The Lord is ready to hand out, to start handing out mantles, but he's waiting on your heart to be ready. Hallelujah. So, I remember like I mentioned, we were so busy, and the Lord added a church to our ministry. And then, you know, because God is going to use those that are busy. If you are sitting around waiting for something to happen, it's not going to happen. Have you ever heard that saying, give it to the person that's the most busy in the church and they get it done? It's true. But because he uses busy people. So to follow means leaving everything behind. That's when you leave everything. And that's what I said in the beginning. You just have to let go. Cut all ties and say, you know what? I have nothing to go back to. My goal is to just follow the Lord and look at the cross and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I gotta just go forward. And let me tell you, it's being in the will of God. You have to. It's fun for me. It's very, very interesting, Pastor. It's fun because I love the uncertainty. I don't know about you. I love getting lost in a new city. Because you don't know what's around the corner. I just love to see new things. I love to feel new things out there for what it's out there. And I think it's all our family. We're all like that. And that sometimes gets you in trouble. You have to pull out your Mexican card. Amen. So Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, remember that? He told the rich man, if you want to go perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And that is what we need to do. Just sell everything you have. I'm not telling you to sell your house and all that stuff. But you get the concept of the scripture. And before I gave some pictures to the media people out there, and I didn't even mention any of what I told you, brother, I didn't know what I was going to do. But I'm going to share the testimony of Brother Tobias. Brother Tobias, about 3 months, I don't know how long, after we arrived in Namibia, there he is. I met him, and he told me, today I stayed home fasting and praying because I need answers. And this man, he had many questions. And it was a Friday, and he's a police trainer. And he says, I stayed home from work fasting and praying because I'm praying that God will give me the answers that I'm looking for. And I asked him, what kind of questions do you have? He says, I've been going to all the churches around, and I know they're missing something, and I don't know what it is. And he said, the last church I was going to, the pastor made me stand in front of the whole congregation, and he accused me of being a witch. He told me, I don't want you to come to this church, Tobias, because every time you come, I can't prophesy. I don't know what it is, but when you're here, I can't prophesy. And he said the worst part was that my wife believed him. We went home and she was fighting with me. She couldn't believe she was married to a witch man. Says the next morning I woke up and there she is pouring the bottle of oil on my head, trying to cast the devils out of me. And I said, Brother Tobias, tell me more about yourself. He says, the Lord gave me the Holy Ghost 3 years ago. He knew about the Holy Ghost. He says, every morning I wake up at 4 a.m. and I go pray under that bush out there. And I pray for hours. I speak in tongues for hours. And until the sun rises, I come home and I get ready, dress up, and I go to work. He says, but I do the same everywhere I go. I go to every church and I preach with passion and I speak in tongues, and they don't like it. And that man, I don't know what it is. He said, but he doesn't want me in his church. I said, you have the right spirit. I don't know what kind of spirit that man has, but you have the Holy Ghost, and your spirit is irritating his devils. That's what it makes him uncomfortable, knowing that you have the right spirit. And he probably doesn't even know what it is, but that's what it is. And I asked him one question. I said, Brother Tobias, how were you baptized? He says, I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, we have good news and bad news for you. I told him the bad news is that your baptism is not in the Bible. It's not how the Bible teaches us to be baptized. And the good news is we can fix that in 15 minutes. So I give him a short Bible study. I just explained to him Matthew 28:19. I said, you know, the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. And the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And then I told him, read Acts 2:38 for me. He's sitting right in front of me. And when he began to read, he said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. When he said in the name of Jesus, the Lord gave him the revelation immediately. And he jumped from the chair with his Bible in his hand. He says, it's in the name of Jesus. I said, that's right. He said, I can see it now. And then he asked the most important question anyone can ask. When can you baptize me in the name of Jesus? I said, as soon as you're ready. We baptized Brother Tobias. We baptized his mom, his wife. His mom was a pastor. She had a full church. And she said, if you can prove to me with the Bible that what you're teaching is true, I'll let you come and preach to my church. We went to her house, gave her the same Bible study. She got the revelation. She said, come to my church on Sunday and preach this same message. We went. We baptized the whole congregation. And most of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. God is in the soul winning business, church. And we are to just get up and go all in. Because we are in the last days and we don't know when this is going to end. But before he comes, we got to do everything we can to reach one more soul. You may say, but how are we going to reach the world? We may not reach the whole world, but thank God for one that got the Holy Ghost. Thank one for two or three that we baptized the other day. That's how it is. Because we can reach, we just throwing the seed out there. You can count the seeds inside of an apple, but you can never count the apples that will come out of those seeds. So if you reach one and that one goes to reach more. That last picture that you were seeing of Brother Tobias by the pool with all these people, he sent me this picture after we left. He says, Pastor, I went to a new village. I baptized the pastor. I baptized the whole congregation. And 26 got the Holy Ghost when they came out of the water. This is something that he sent to me. And he's still going with the truth out there. He is opening new villages. He's preaching. He is teaching and encouraging the preaching points that we open out there, because that's what this is about. His mom, we baptized her, and she just passed away 2 weeks ago. We were very sad to hear that, of course, but he told me, my mom passed on. That's what he said. And what I'm trying to say is that if we wouldn't have gone out there, she would have never heard this message. The whole church would have never heard this message. And now he's the one in charge of the church, taking care of the church until we find a pastor to install in that place. And so what I want to say, you just got to cut the rope and just fall in the arms of the Lord. Whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to do. I'm finished with my preaching, so I'm going to ask the brothers if we can watch the video now, and let's go into the village and see what the Lord is doing out there. In Jesus' name.
Yes, it does.
If the musicians can come, please. How many of you are willing to say, here I am, Lord? All in. Are we all in into this? In 1517, Hernando Cortes and his three ships of soldiers sailed from Spain to conquer and claim Mexico for his country. When they finally arrived in the Mexican Bay, small boats ferried all the way to the shore to prepare for an inland march to the capital city of the Aztec Indian Empire to defeat King Montezuma and his forces. And once all the soldiers were on shore, Cortes sent a few men to row back out to the main ships. As the soldiers watched, their curiosity turned into horror as these men lit torches and threw them onto the decks of the three ships. They stood there speechless with eyes and mouth open as they realized that they would never see their home country or their families again. They had no choice but to turn, follow Cortes into the heat of the battle, crush the enemy, and win the war. There was no turning back. They either had to go all in or not at all. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And it is the same for us tonight. Church, we have no choice. There's nothing back there for us. The plows are burned. The oxen are slaughtered. We either go all in or die. So the question is, are you willing to give it all? I'm not saying you have to go overseas, and I'm not saying that, but right there where you are, give it all, everything you have. Teach a Bible study. Make it a point to share with somebody every day about the gospel of Jesus. What you have is something so precious that these people are out there crying in need, and all they're waiting for is somebody to tell them and lead them. One man told me when I baptized him, it was in the video, the man with the green shirt, he came out of the water crying and speaking in tongues. He said, why did you people take so long to come to Namibia? They're waiting and they're hungry. So I'm going to ask you to come to the altar, if that's okay, and just talk to God and see whatever the Lord spoke to you tonight. Tell him, God, I'm sorry, I want to give it all. If I have not done enough, can I just give me another opportunity, Lord, so I can just go a little deeper, go a little further, sacrifice a little more, and just give more than what I've been giving. If the Lord's been calling you and talking to you about doing something more, don't hold back. Cut the rope, burn the plows, slaughter the oxen, and just move forward, and you'll see what God can do in your life and with your life. Somebody will be rejoicing for eternity because you heard the voice of God and you stepped out in faith to do what God called you to do. Someone will rejoice for eternity because you have reached those that were in need.